Good morning. Feeling well this morning and things. I have had a man cold for the last couple days. I have been tested. My wife did test me. I'm not crazy. But it's a very severe case of man cold. It's a type 1. There's no cure for it. So just be bearing with me. it's good to be here this morning, and also good for some of my Word to Freeze family to be here this morning that I haven't got to see for a while. We have not been able to get back into our building, so everything we have been doing has been doing online, so it's good to see some of my family here this morning, and a brand new member of our family, our Word to Freeze family, little Finn, was born 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago, and so I got good to get to see him this morning and just get to celebrate with my family this morning. I'm going to jump into the Word this morning a little bit. We have been starting a study on the work on the book of Joshua, and it's something that I've done a while back ago, but it's just been something coming kind of fresh from my heart again. And so I just want to share some stuff. Before that, let me just start with some scriptures. That way, I can kind of get a jumping point and get right into it. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 25, says. They returned, this is after, let me say this, let me just give some background on that. Moses had sent 12 spies into the land of promise to go and spy it out, to go and see what it looked like and to come back with a report. God had been telling them for a long time. He said, he told them before he brought them out of Egypt, so I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. I'm going to bring you into a good land. It's going to be a land that flows with milk and honey. It's going to be a goodly land. Is going to be a land that you will inherit, houses you did not build, and vineyards you did not plant. And so he sent 12 spies into the land, and they come back, and this is the report they begin to give, and it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. I'm not holding this mic right. And they went, came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Parah to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now the fruit that they showed them, it said that they had a cluster of grapes that they carried, that it took two men to carry. Now I've gone to Food Lion down here many times and get a cluster of grapes. I can hold that pretty much like this. That's pretty much a cluster of grapes. So if it's taking two men to carry a cluster of grapes, these are some pretty significant grapes. So if God had promised them this land of vineyards they did not plant and houses they did not build, these are significant things and not just little things that they're getting by with. And he says, and he told him, check 1-2. Verse 29 says, verse 27, he says, and they told him and said, we came to the land where thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So background as we get started here is that God tells them, he says, I'm going to bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Now, I've got two daughters, and they drink milk like it's their full-time job. We probably go through 3 gallons of milk a week, if not more. I mean, it's like their full-time job. And so you're talking about a land that flows with milk and honey, that this is like rivers of milk Like, there's a lot of milk and honey. This is a goodly land. There's a lot of abundance in this land. They're bringing back the fruit of this land that is taking two men to carry what we get at Food Lion could hold in two fingers. It's taking two men to carry. They are saying that God had promised them. He said, listen, this is what he'd already told them. This is what the land looked like. It's a land flowing milk and honey. It's a goodly land. And he says, I'm going to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not build. So he's showing them, here's the vineyards. It takes two men just to carry this one cluster of grapes. So the vineyards you are going to inherit are something of a large value. And so then they say, well, we can't go into the land. God also tells them first, he says, but I'm going to drive out the inhabitants from before you. As soon as you begin to march into the land, I'm going to drive out the inhabitants from before you. This is not going to be a fight that you are going to do by your own might. They are only there to keep these things until you get there. So they're only there to make sure that the house that you're about to inherit, the vineyard you're going to inherit, is kept and is good and is in a good condition so that when you begin to enter in and take part of it, it's already been taken care of. But they say, this is their report, they said, we can't do this, we can't enter into the land because we saw the sons of Anak, we saw the giants. Now again, I want you to see, he said, I'm going to give you houses you did not build, vineyards you did not plant. If they saw the sons, if they saw giants in this land, again, this is not small things God is wanting to promise them. He's wanting to give them giant homes, giant vineyards, not just enough to get by, but more than enough that is for their, you know, as we sang that song was on my heart this morning, even as I was preparing this morning, of I want to bless your children. I'm going to bless you to 1,000 generations. That this is something more than just you getting by for enough and just hoping to get by. But I want you to understand that God wants to give you some abundance, some goodly land. There's some promises of God that even in the New Testament, see, these were Old Testament things. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, the promises of God are so much greater and so much bigger than they were even in this Old Testament. So if he would promise them giant homes they did not build and giant vineyards they did not plant in an Old Testament, how much more does he promise us in a New Covenant something so much greater? And so, you know, I talk a lot in our church and even online and things, and I talk a lot about repentance, the word repentance. And we've heard the word repentance growing up, and there is a aspect of like when we come down to the altar and we ask God into our heart and we get saved, that is an aspect of repentance. But the word repentance is the Greek word metanoia. It means to have a mind change. And repentance is not something that we just have at our altar encounter. But repentance is something that we have continually as sons and daughters of God. That's why he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That we are renewing our mind. We are understanding that we are not, as these people said, we are grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we will be in theirs. There has to be a repentance, a mind change to those that are like Joshua and Caleb, who will still the people and say, let us go up at once and take this, for we are well able to take the land. Now, as a little background story, a little side note, Caleb was 40-some years old, I believe, when he went in to spy the land out the first time. He comes back, he gives his report and says, let us go up at once. We're well able to take the land. But because there was 10 other spies that gave a bad report, they did not enter that land. And a whole generation, they spent 40 years in a wilderness just chasing after a cloud. I always call it a move of God. They chased after a move of God for 40 years. They had a cloud by day and a cloud by day and a pillar of smoke by night. They had just enough to get by. They had manna that would fall down from heaven. They could gather up what they needed for the day. If they gathered up more than that, when they'd wake up the next morning, it'd be turned to worms. And so it's just getting by. It's just getting enough. And I believe somewhat we as even in the American church and even Christians in general have lived in that kind of mentality, is that that's what we're supposed to have. Just getting by. Just having enough. Just following the next move of God, seeing some miracles. I mean, they saw great miracles in the wilderness, but that was not the promised land that God had for them, or nor was it the place God was trying to take them. And Caleb understood this at 40 years old, and he said, you know what, let us go up at once and take this land. But because there was 10 others that said, no, we can't do this, that whole generation died in the wilderness, but Caleb and Joshua were the only ones of that generation that lived to enter into the promised land. Caleb comes to Joshua, and he's 80-some years old, and he tells Joshua, he says, I saw, he said, I came across my promise when I was 40 years old. He said, I saw it. I saw where I was supposed to have my house, my vineyard. I knew where it was. I saw it at 40-some years old, but people robbed me of entering into my promise. I did not receive it when I knew I was well able to do it. He said, but I'm 80-some years old, and I am have the same strength today as I did when I was 40, and I am well able. Caleb goes up into a mountain, and it says there was three sons of Anak that lived there. There was three giants in that land, and Caleb kicked their butt and took their houses and lived in their houses because it was promised to him. That is the promises of God that I want us to begin to have this mind change to begin to realize there are some things we can have and enter into. They were kept out because they said, well, there's sons of Anak there. There's some giants in the land. But Caleb goes up at 80-some years old and shows that these giants were nothing to keep you out of. They were there to keep that house until you got there. He was able to take on three of them at 80-some years old, and he did not fail. His strength was just the same at 80 as it was at 40, but he could have been living there for so much longer if somebody else would not have robbed him of his blessing. I want you to get a mentality this morning and a thought process that there are some bigger things in God than we could have that we have not yet entered into. Joshua chapter 18, and I want to show us this scripture, verse 1. Now they have entered into the promised land here. And Joshua has brought them into the land of promise. He's brought them in. He says, brings them into one place, and he says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men of each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide unto it seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast in the country, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast in the north. And ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you, and you cast lots for you, and here before the Lord God. And the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben, the half tribe of Manasseh, have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it and come again to me, that I might here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. Now, let me stop here because, again, he says, how long will you not possess your possessions? Seeing there is still a vast amount of land that has not yet been, you've not yet moved into. Now, he says there's seven tribes that had not yet received their inheritance. And he says, so there's 12 tribes altogether, right? There's one tribe, the tribe the Levites. The Levites, they don't have no land, they don't have no part of the land because their inheritance is the priesthood. That's their inheritance. You got two tribes and a half tribe that got their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan. That's all that's left then is you've got about one tribe that actually entered in and got some land in the promised land, in the actual promised land. So you've got seven tribes living on one piece of land that's been inherited. Now, if we look at it from their perspective, are we okay? I know I'm different than Lisa, but they're living in, there's seven tribes living on one piece of inheritance in this land of promise. And God and Joshua's telling them, how long will you take before you just go in and receive what God has already given you? You're living in this one little part, you're all dwelling in this one part. And it must be enough to sustain them because nobody's complaining and nobody's getting up to go take. So there must be a substantial amount of what they're living on, but there's so much more than what they could have. What's that? Yeah, you know, and so they've been, you know, and I guarantee, you know, they lived as slaves in Egypt, so they probably used to not having a lot there. Then they move out, you know, they God delivers them, brings them out to the wilderness. They've been used to not having a lot there, you know. We're moving around a lot. You know, it's only barely, you know, we've got enough manna to survive for the day. We've got, a rock that's, you know, we speak to, and that's how we get our water. And so they're just used to just having enough to get by, and so they get into the promised land, and this one little place that they're living is enough to sustain seven tribes, and they're all happy. But Joshua is trying to tell them, look, there's so much more than just this little bit. Seeing that the land is subdued before you, seeing that there's still a lot more to be inherited. When they go in, when these men begin to go through this land and begin to describe it, they say there are walled cities here. There was the valley of the giants that lived here. Again, they're speaking of some great big things that have not yet to be inherited, and they're not even motivated somewhat to get up, because Joshua's telling them, how long will you be slack to go possess your inheritance? And I believe even today in our Christian walk, we have been so content to live and just getting by with just enough. I mean, I've heard probably my whole life about the great revivals of the past and how God did these great things, or there was these great miracles that took place, and how God moved within men, and we keep trying to bring, you know, and I've been in so many church services, we try to bring back or recreate those things and make those things happen again, when we don't realize there's something so much more and so much more vast than what we have begun to walk in. What if we begin to have a repentance, a mind change, and realize and begin to look out and see that there is so much something, so much bigger, so much greater than what we've had in the past. I'm telling you, and I'm not just talking spiritually. I'm talking about in real life, physical. you know, I remember preaching this, and it's significant that Tarina and Miranda are here, because we sat here one day, and I was preaching, and I said, God wants to give you houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant. And I was speaking metaphorically, like spiritually. But Trina said, you know, she has heard the Lord. They'd been looking for a house. It just seemed like everything they came, just came across, just hit a wall every time. And she said, man, I was sitting there, she said, that morning, and the Lord just said, you know, I'm going to give you a house you did not build and a vineyard you did not plant. She said, it wasn't but a couple weeks later, this lady shows up in her house and says, you know what, I'm going to go live in this retirement home, and I have this house, and I just feel like I want to give you this house. Gave her a house she did not build. She said, I walked out into the backyard, and there was grapevines in the backyard. So she said, not only did God give me a house I did not build, he gave me vineyards I did not plant. Literal houses it was a literal house and a literal vineyard. So, and I, you know, that's the thing, is I want us to understand that God isn't just wanting to give us spiritual blessings, but it's also physical blessings, natural blessings, that God wants us to be in abundance and live an abundant life. We have had people, I'm telling you what I think is, we've had people that have been like these 10 spies that have robbed us of 40 years of just wandering around in a wilderness, just having enough to get back, because they said, well, just one glad morning, just one day it's going to get better. One day it'll be when we get to heaven or when Jesus comes back, it's going to be better. Rather than getting a mindset or a mind change or repentance that says, it's available for me today. What if God wants me to live in heaven right now? In this physical body. You know, we talk about if the same spirit that dwells in Christ dwells in us, it will quicken, make alive our mortal bodies. If he wants to quicken and make alive our mortal bodies, that means he wants us to live in some abundance right here and not just trying to get us over there somewhere. So that God wants, you know, if I went around the room and I said, probably describe heaven to me, probably every one of you have some kind of description of what you believe heaven would look like, right? What if that's not for someday, but what if that's for today? What if you begin to describe what heaven looks like to you? See, that's what he did here in Joshua chapter 18. He told him, I want you to go into the land. I want you to begin to describe it. And I want you to write it down. I want you to bring it back to me. Because I want to see what your description of this land looks like. Some of us need to begin to write down what our description of heaven or the good life looks like. Begin to bring it before God and allow him to bring about the real physical heaven to earth in our lives the blessings of God that are not just enough to get by, but some giant houses you did not build, some giant vineyards you did not plant. I say if you got a giant house, it's probably got a giant bed in it. It's got some giant TVs for you to watch. It's got some good life on every hand. You know, sometimes we're just looking for enough to get by, and we're looking for, well, if God would just give me my healing, or God would just give me this, just enough to get by, rather than looking for, man, I don't want to just get healed. I want to feel like I did when I was 20 years old. I want to be like a Caleb that said, yeah, 80 years old, I still feel as good as I did when I was 40. I knew I could kick a giant's butt then, and I know I can do it now. What if we begin to have that kind of mentality? What if we had some repentance, some mind change to begin to live like that in the abundance of what Christ had? Somewhere along the line, somebody has to begin to describe what this land looks like. Somebody has to say there's still a vast amount of stuff that we haven't yet even seen nor touched or realized is available to us. There's an abundance to this land. The blessings of God are so abundant. They're so, they're without measure. And we live in this life here and now like there's, like it's just temporary. It's just, you know, we don't, it's almost like we've been taught somewhat in Christianity to not, like, it's selfish to even think. You know, we hear scriptures, like, I've heard people say this about rich people. They say, well, it's easier for, they'll use this scripture, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to enter into the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom, so God can make me rich. God can bless me. I'm not trying to enter into this thing. I'm already there. So if God wants to make some rich men in this kingdom, we're not trying to get into this thing. We're already in the kingdom. We're already living here. What if we begin to, if our Father God is rich beyond measure, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, how much more does he want to bless his children? You know, one of the things I do, you know, for me, especially as I've had kids and things like that, my mentality changes about my wants, and yeah, I still want to go and get some things I like. But I end up going to the store more times, walking through the toy store, walking through the places where they would like, looking for things to buy them than I am looking for me. Now, if that's me, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to do the same thing for us? There has to be a mind change. There has to be a repentance that we begin to change our mind about the things that God has in store for us, the abundance of what he wants to give to us, and not just the spiritual things. Although he wants to give us the spiritual blessing, he wants to give us the abundance of grace. He wants to give us the abundance of joy. He wants to give us the abundance of peace. But more than that, also, he wants to give us the good life in this life. That when people look at us as the children of God, they go, why, how is those people so happy? You know, you ever hear, you know, Biggie Smalls, more problem, you know, more money, more problems. But in the kingdom, that's not how it is. Because when he gives you the abundance of his riches physically, he also gives you the abundance of his riches spiritually. So when you create the abundance of his riches and you enter into this land, you enter into these houses you did not build. And these vineyards you did not plant, and you've got some abundance, there's also some abundance of peace that knows how to enjoy it. There's also something inside of me that says, I didn't work to earn this. This has come because the blessings of God have overtaken me. So if it's come because the blessings of God have overtaken me, something in my heart changes. This is, I want to be a blessing to others as well. Your whole mind change begins to happen as you enter into a promised land that you did not work for, a promised land you did not fight for, but something you walked into that God had provided for you in abundance. What if we changed our mind from what we could have and just stopped living with just enough to get by? You know, like I said, they lived for 40 years. They lived in a wilderness chasing after a cloud. And again, to me, that always speaks to me of just chasing the moves of God, the next blessing. Oh, if I could just be in this service, you know, or I could have been, man, you know, you ever hear somebody say, oh, you should have been at church last week, man. There was just such a move of God last week. Seems like I'm always the one that misses that one. I'm like, you know, I'm at every one of them. And then the one that I'm like, I didn't get to go to or I was out of town, you should have been here last week. There was such a presence of God last week, man. People were just getting healed. And I'm like, I missed one, like one. You know, but that's how we have been. It seems like every, you know, and you probably have felt that same way sometimes. Like, oh, if I'd have just been here last week, I might have got my healing. Or if I'd have been here when that preacher was preaching. Or if that person, I might have got my blessing. Or I haven't got, to me, that's still just chasing the cloud of just getting our manna. when there is a whole abundance of inheritance. God wants to, you know, again, as Beth sang this morning, God wants to bless us to 1,000 generations. Now, when you hear that, you go, well, that's still finite. There's still an end to that. But if you're singing that over every generation, then that's a song without end. That's a blessing without end. As my kids begin to sing, I can sing that to 1,000 generations, but as my kids begin to sing that, well, that increases the generations that are being blessed. As their kids begin to sing, that increases the generations that are being blessed, because the blessings of God are without end. They have no measure. They do not stop. God is always increasing. God is always getting bigger. He's always got more to give and more to pour out. What if we begin to change our minds as sons and daughters of God and realize we've got not just enough blessing to get by? God isn't wanting to put us in a trailer court. He's wanting to put us in some mansions. He's wanting to put us in some giant homes we did not build. He's wanting us not to just have some fruit that we can hold in two fingers, but he's wanting us to have some fruit it takes two men to carry, some abundance that we're able to pass down to our children and our children's children, to not just feel like, man, I've been working my whole life just to get by, but some abundance also that I'm passing down to my children, that they did not have to work and struggle like I did. They're not having to chase, even spiritually, not having to chase after spiritual blessing for another move of God or some kind of healing. But they realize the abundance of God that's inside of them, that there's healing inside of them. There is some life inside of them. And they got such an abundance of life inside of them, it's just overflowing and given to other people. You know, I'm sure when these guys got into the promised land, they also had some servants that they acquired from the people that they had conquered, right? There was also an abundance to sustain them. Some people that... They were blessed because they came in contact with the blessed people. What if we become that blessed people that are able just to, that people are just being blessed because they're coming in contact with the blessed people? Again, there has to be some repentance, some mind change in the hearts of sons and daughters of God to begin to realize there is something. Seeing how long will we be slack to inherit our inheritance, seeing there is a vast amount of land still to be inherited. And see, if that was true, then I believe that's still true today. I believe that. I've just been hearing that in my heart for the last several months, of just there is still a vast amount of land to be inherited that we haven't even looked upon or discovered yet. We've just been living in this part that this is what we've been told Christianity is. This is what we told being a Christian is. And we don't realize that that's just one person's inheritance of it. That's just one tribe's inheritance. There's still vast amounts that if we begin to go and write it down and describe it, what does it look like? How can I enter into that? And God is just putting those people in those giants in those houses to keep them until we decide, hey, I'm ready to move into that house now. I'm ready to live there. I'm ready. I'm telling you what, I'm tired of living in other people's houses and in other people's blessings. Tired of living and just barely getting by. I'm ready to enter into a land and begin to describe it. If nobody else will describe it, I'll begin to describe this land. There's some abundance in this land to us. And not just spiritual abundance. The spiritual abundance, there is that. There is joy. There is righteousness. There is peace. There is mercy. His mercies are new every morning. There is an abundance of grace that where sin abound, grace did much more abound. So the spiritual blessings are abundant, but there is the natural blessings as well. As he wants to make us rich and increased with goods. He wants to give us the good life on every hand. I believe, again, if we went around this room and I said, describe what you think heaven looks like, probably all of you have some kind of description of heaven in your mind of what it would look like. What if you didn't have to wait? What if you could have heaven today? What if you could live right in heaven today in your physical body without ever feeling like you were separated from your loved ones, without ever feeling like that's tears wiped from your eyes? That's abundance right now. What if you could feel like you did when you were 20 years old, where you felt like I could take on the world? And sometimes I feel like that anyway, and then I realize that that's not true. I have the 20-year-old mind and try the 20-year-old things, and then my 40-year-old body says, no, that's not true. But what if that's not the case? What if that's a lie? What if we can have our bodies getting younger, feel that physical vigor again? What if we can go and defeat these giants at 80-some years old and it ain't no big deal? It'd just been like we were 40. Some mind change has to begin to happen. This is what is promised to the sons and daughters of God. But we have to begin to transform our mind and not be conformed into this world. I hope I've been a blessing this morning. I know I'm not quite like Lisa, and I'm probably a little bit shorter. But I felt like I've given what's on my heart. And I just pray blessing on you this morning.
So unusual, it's frightening. You see right through the mess inside me. You call me out to call me in. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. No, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. 'Cause you won't let go, no matter what I do. No, it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. It's all I like you to keep pursuing. It's all I like me to go astray. Oh, you got my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof. And I surrender to your kindness. Whoa, fully known and loved by you. I won't let go, no matter what I do. It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. Fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. Oh, it's not one or the other. It's our truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how deep, how rich is your heart? I cannot find a reason why you give me so much. How real, how wide, how deep, how rich is your heart? I cannot find a reason why you give me so much. But I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known. Fully known and loved by you. Fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you.
When Jeremy was reading this morning, the thing that really stuck out to me was when he was telling about the land. He
told one part of them to go to this coast and the other part to go to this coast. And then they go up higher, and then he goes past the Jordan. And I was like, that's a lot of land. So they weren't living like in a gated community on top of each other. They were spread out. And you think about that, like, if you know where they were at in the African continent, coast to coast is a long ways. That's a big, big, big continent. So to be coast to coast in Africa or in the African continent is a big, big, big area. And, you know, he was saying this morning that God wants to do so much more for us. And I was thinking, you know, that there's a scripture that says if I get one in the family, I get the whole family. If I get two in the family, I get the whole city. And there's more Christians on the planet today than there's ever been. There's more Christians today than there was when Jesus was walking the earth. Because it's grown. It's you can't stamp it out. They've tried. There's been lots of times that people have tried to get rid of Christianity and get rid of Christians, but it just keeps growing because it can't be stopped. And I was thinking about, you know, how much, you know, I drive down the road sometimes and I read church signs, and there's so much fear, even on church signs. And I was just thinking, you know, if those of us that have heard a message of mercy and a message of grace and a message of love and a message of, you know, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, when we begin to share that with people that are in trouble or just terrified, there's people just terrified right now. And when you think about the power that we house in this earthly vessel, that the scripture says that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but we've been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can't have fear in a sound mind. You can't have love when you're in fear. You can't have power, especially when you're in fear. So when you take fear away, you have power through love and a sound mind. And when that starts to spread, that's infectious. That's more infectious than anything on this planet, is the power and the love and the sound mind that we have through Christ Jesus. It's infectious. And that's the kind of stuff, when we start spreading that around, you know, yeah, that when someone's going through something, we can say, man, that's awful. I'm sorry you're dealing with that. But I'm going to pray power over you. I'm going to pray healing for you. I'm not going to just pray that, well, I hope you make it through. I'm going to pray that, like Jeremy said, that you'll be blessed, that you'll have houses you did not build, that might be in pain today, you might be suffering today, but let me tell you about a new day, and his name is Christ. And we walk in him every day. Amen? Protocol is here. Should I just pray and dismiss us, or do you want to do that? I was waiting on someone.